Well, good morning, church family. It's a special joy to have visitors with us from Zimbabwe, and also Craig and Heidi Linden and family. Lovely to have you with us today. We are looking forward to a bit of a break. Thank you for that, Emil. And we will do our best to relax, but we will miss you over the next two Sundays, and we'll look forward to being back with you the first Sunday of February. And so let's pray together and ask God for his help as we look into his word this morning. Our Father, without you, we can do nothing of eternal significance. And so we thank you now for the word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's authorship, inspiration of the Bible. And we thank you that every scripture is God-breathed and useful. Thank you for the way in which you teach us, correct us, reprove us, and instruct us in the right way to live. Thank you that the Bible gives us all that we need to be all that you want us to be. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit may illumine our hearts and minds, help us to hear your voice, to hearken and obey. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The way God guides his people is a great theme, is it not, throughout the Bible. And again, it is a fact of history that God is faithful to guide his people. God is a good shepherd, and he guides us in the right paths for his name's sake. On the other hand, we are fallen, and man is so nearsighted. We can't even see tomorrow clearly. But God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who sees the end from the beginning, the omniscient one, is with us. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness, we desperately need divine guidance, do we not? How foolish to muddle along through life when we can avail ourselves of the perfect knowledge and invincible power of an unerring God who says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will watch over you with my eye upon you. Psalm 32, verse 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And Psalm 107 and verse 7 that was read to us just now, he led them in a definite way. The Hebrew word has the sense of an intentional way. God is very intentional about the way in which he wants to guide you and me in his will for our lives. Praise his name. In the wild and trackless desert without a guide, men would lose themselves and die. But God saw a way where there was no other way, and he led the children of Israel through the desert to their destination. That is, all of them who were willing to trust and obey. They followed Joshua and Caleb into their full inheritance, unlike others who did not trust and obey, and whose dry bones in the desert bore witness to that for many centuries to come. Psalm 32 verse 9 says, be not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings must be a bit and a bridle to keep them at hand. But the meek he will guide in truth, and the meek he will teach his way, the Bible says. I don't have to remind you that meekness is not weakness, it's strength under control. And so here this morning are some biblical principles that apply to all who want divine guidance. I have a very basic, simple message for you today, and you have an outline to follow, and you might like to fill in some gaps here and there as we go along. There are four prerequisites if we desire the guidance of God in our lives. There are four things that help us to position ourselves in that place where we can hear the Lord, where we can respond to His voice, where we can bring Him glory in a relationship with Him, where there is two-way communication, and we can rest in that place where the Good Shepherd is leading us. Prerequisite number one is a pure desire. A pure desire for the will of God for your life. That positions you in the place where God will surely guide you, even though your way may be fraught with difficulties. You need to be positioned right spiritually. You need to be yielded to God with a pure desire. I'm sure you're inspired, as I am, reading the biographies and histories of men whom God has greatly used, through whom God has done remarkable things, and George Mueller is one of them. George Mueller of Bristol followed the Lord for 70 years, and he never seemed to lose his way. He fed hundreds of orphans every day with food that God prompted others to provide. In sincerely desiring the will of God, he experienced God honoring that desire by enabling him to open several orphanages. But don't miss this point, my brothers and sisters. Don't miss this point. Behind his desire for the provision of God was his desire for the manifest presence of God. Behind his desire for the provision of God was always his desire for the manifest presence of God, that he may be so positioned that he would never miss what God was saying. Like Moses, he wanted to know God's ways as well as his works, but most of all, his presence. Moses said, "Lord, if you don't go with us, don't let us move from where we are." Friends, the deserts of life are mean places without a guide and a provider. Moses and the children of Jacob had to learn a whole new set of principles in the wilderness. Theirs was a very different life now to the life they had in Egypt. Life in the world can be very dark and difficult, can it not? And we need to constantly position ourselves where God can guide us by having that pure, sincere desire to say, "Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. I want to stay in the place where you can lead me." And then secondly, we need a listening ear, a listening ear. "I want to hear what God the Lord will say to me," said an Old Testament saint. I hope you wake up like that every morning and say, "I want to hear what God the Lord would say to me." Before 1,000 voices from the world clamor for a hearing, before anything else, in my waking moments, I want to position myself so that I can hear what God the Lord would say to me. Because I know He wants to guide me day by day. As Dr. Henry Blackaby would remind us, if you're not hearing God, you're in trouble at the very center of your Christian life. We were reminded last Sunday morning of Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And we need to position ourselves to hear that word every morning. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." The prophet Habakkuk said, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me." That's what we're talking about. Positioning ourselves so that we can hear our divine guide day by day. "I will look to see what he will say to me." A listening ear is essential in a day when a multitude of voices are clamoring for our attention and our hearing. We need to learn how to shut out the multitudinous voices of men and tune into the voice of God. Like the little boy Samuel, we need to get alone with God, and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." A pure desire, a listening ear. And then thirdly, an unquestioning trust. You have to learn to trust the only one who is absolutely trustworthy. For as we said last Sunday morning, God will always lead you to the place where faith must kick in. Friend, unbelief will seldom, if ever, see the guidance of God. Unbelief will seldom, if ever, see the guidance of God. Only unshakable trust can traverse the deserts of life with God. Only faith can conquer the giants. Only faith can pull down the enemy's strongholds. Only faith can inherit the promises. And so a pure desire in the listening ear must be coupled with an unquestioning faith. And then fourthly, divine guidance requires that we exercise patience. I don't know about you, but this is the hardest part for me. Sometimes the Bible calls it perseverance. Paul prays for the Christians at Thessalonica, saying, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patience of Christ. May the Lord direct your heart into the patience of Christ. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit if we're living in a right relationship with God. The patience to wait for God's timing is essential if we're serious about being guided by the Lord. You have need of patience, the Bible says. Beloved, listen carefully. The danger of going ahead of God is just as acute as the danger of lagging behind. The Christian life is a call to patient endurance and continual waiting upon God. And I don't know about you, but I know I was born with an impatient heart. And we live in the me now generation, where every day one sees evidence of rank impatience. But friend, if we're going to be guided by the Good Shepherd, we'll have to learn that part of the technique of positioning ourselves to hear the voice of God is patient endurance. And just keep doing the last thing God told you to do until it's His timing to tell you to do something different. Patience. Patience, my brother. Patience, my sister. Patience. May God direct you into the patience of the Lord Jesus. Don't be like King Saul, who became so impatient that when the prophet Samuel didn't arrive on time, Saul took matters into his own hands, made his own decisions, and the rest of his life he paid the consequences. Now, having looked at some biblical principles that position us for divine guidance, I've listed here seven things on your outline. The ways in which God sometimes guides, and often several of them go together to give us the assurance of His guidance. Number one, He guides us sometimes with nothing but pure, clear commands. Could anything be clearer than the Ten Commandments? I wonder if you know them off by heart. I won't read them all to you. But could anything be clearer than this? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet. I mean, could anything be clearer? Sometimes God guides us through His clear commands. Love the Lord with all your heart. And as you know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gets not only to the letter of the law, but to the spirit of the law. And we need to understand Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount if we are truly serious about obeying God's commands. But sometimes God speaks clearly through a command. If we obey the commands of God, we will not miss the will of God. Secondly, He guides us by alerting us to biblical principles. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. Do good to all men, and especially those of the household of faith. Lay up treasure in heaven. Flee from sexual sin. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sometimes God gives us just the principles by which we are to live. And as we obey those principles, God guides us very clearly in His will. Sometimes, thirdly, He guides us by engineering our circumstances. We mentioned last Sunday morning how God is a past master at stirring up our nest and getting our attention through the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And circumstantial evidence must never be the final word in God's guidance. If somebody wants to buy a house in Fishhook, it doesn't mean that God wants you to sell it and to move to Hermanus or the Caribbean. You need a little more than just circumstantial evidence to discern the will of God for your life. But God often engineers our circumstances in such a way that they become part of His guidance in our lives. And then sometimes God guides us fourthly through the counsel of others. How I thank God that through the years of my Christian walk, God has put around me wise people who are able to guide me and to counsel me. The proverb says, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. If you want the guidance of God, make sure you listen to the right people. Make sure that you always avail yourselves of the counsel of good and godly men and women who are hearing God. Don't take your counsel from people who are not hearing God. But very often He guides through the faithful counsel of others. What a word of wisdom King David received from Abigail about the foolish Nabal whom he was about to take out. How I thank God that He gives us others who can counsel us along the way. And then fifthly, there are times when God gives divine insight or special revelation. In New Testament language, we read about a word of knowledge, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will give a particular insight or a word of knowledge. One thinks in 1 Kings chapter 14, that fascinating story. Do you remember the story when the almost blind prophet Ahijah was going to be confronted in disguise by the wife of King Jeroboam? And the Lord gave the prophet special insight so that when Jeroboam's wife arrived at his residence, he was able to say to her, come in, you wife of Jeroboam. Why this pretense? You remember the incident in Acts chapter 5 where Ananias and Sapphira, who being led of God, the Holy Spirit, to sell a property and bring the full proceeds to the Lord and lay that at the apostles' feet at the local church. They agreed together that having clearly heard the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, they would keep back a portion for themselves. From all outward appearance, it seemed like an incredible gift of generosity and such a good and godly thing to do. But Peter was given divine insight into the reality of the situation, that they were lying to the Holy Spirit of God, who said, give all, and they had agreed to keep that part. There are times when God gives special insight or revelation or divine wisdom, if you like, into a situation, and that becomes part of the way in which He guides us sometimes. And then, sixthly, God speaks by dreams and visions. We sang about that in one of our opening hymns, where we prayed in song for another great awakening. And we were reminded of the fact that the prophet Joel, who is quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost said that the Holy Spirit will be poured about out upon all flesh, upon sons and daughters, upon men and women. And in that prophecy, which Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost, Joel says, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And I don't have to remind you that the Old Testament is replete with examples of God giving visions and dreams. And then when we come to the New Testament, we find also, if we look at the Apostle Peter, and God awakening him to the reality that the gospel is not only for Jews, it's also for Gentiles. It is through a dream or a vision, being in almost a trance-like state, that the Holy Spirit is able to speak through that dream, through that vision, to Peter, and to remind him, and to awaken him to the fact that the gospel is also for Gentiles. The Apostle Paul, on his missionary journey in Acts chapter 16, is wanting to go in a different direction to the direction God is wanting him to go. And the Holy Spirit of God gives Paul a vision, a man of Macedonia, saying, come over and help us. And it is as a result of a vision from God that the gospel of Jesus Christ goes to Europe. Hallelujah. God speaks through dreams and visions. Now, I have to confess to you that 99.9% of my dreams are a result of what I ate the previous evening. It happened last night. But God is able to give dreams and visions, and we thank God today, Alan and Jen, don't we, of increasing stories of Muslim people whom God has given dreams and visions about the Lord Jesus, and people coming to faith in Jesus through dreams and visions. Don't put anything past God. We're still living in the day of Pentecost. We're still living in the day when the Holy Spirit is given to God's people and he moves in marvelous ways. Hallelujah. Sometimes God speaks, 7, by means of angels. Praise God for the ministry of angels. I often wonder when we get to heaven if God isn't going to show us just how often angels came to our aid and how often angels saved us in particular situations. And so, again, the Old Testament is full of examples of angels and of the angel of the Lord. Sometimes that angel is the Lord Jesus himself. But Psalm 91 and verse 11 says, he will command his angels concerning you to guide you, to guard you in all of your ways. An angel of the Lord directed Philip the evangelist to leave a revival in Samaria and go and speak to an Ethiopian man in Gaza. An angel directed Cornelius, the Gentile, from Caesarea. Dirk Prince and his wife, if you've read about them or been blessed by their teaching, had some remarkable guidance and help from angels in the years of their ministry. And then finally, let it be said, climaxing all, over all, above all, the Holy Spirit of God is the best guide of all. Amen. And we see how the Holy Spirit guided Paul and his companions in their missionary journeys. Ask the Old Testament prophets. Ask the New Testament apostles. The Holy Spirit guides. The Holy Spirit directs. The Holy Spirit of God equips and empowers the obedient Christian for effective ministry. And for us today, who have the full revelation of God's Word in the Bible, God's Word written, every scripture inspired and God breathed, the primary means by which God the Holy Spirit guides his people is through his Word. And so as we sang in our hymn earlier, through the troubles and the darkness of this world, God by his Spirit still faithfully guides his people, and he does it supremely through his word. And whenever we feel we have guidance from the Lord, if it's from others or for circumstances or whatever, always ask God, Lord, please confirm this in your word, by your spirit. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you guide your children still today through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through the confirmation of Holy Scripture, through the counsel of Spirit-filled friends and colleagues. But thank you that you can also guide us through clear commands and biblical principles and telling circumstances and visions and angels. We pray that you will guide us in the way you choose, but grant that we may always, day by day, be so positioned in our relationship with you that we will be able to hear your voice and swiftly obey. I pray today for those in this congregation who may be waiting upon you at this very moment for clear guidance regarding their future. And standing on the promises of your word, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you will guide them with your eye upon them, that they may hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. And so grant that we all, corporately, individually, may know the Lord as our shepherd, the Lord who leads us to green pastures and quiet waters, and who constantly restores our soul, who leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you fully to be our guide, even through the deserts and the darkness, the depressions and the difficulties of life. Be our guide, Lord Jesus, because you're a wonderful counselor. And we pray, Father God, that in this year that lies ahead of us, we may day by day stay in the very center of your will for our lives. And we pray that when we come to the end of this year, every single one of us in this building will be able to look back and say, hitherto the Lord has helped us. We raise our Ebenezer. God has faithfully guided us day by day. And for this we praise you through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen.